You might remember when I was last time with you, it was quite some time back, 18 months ago, we were studying in the book of Samuel. Well, I've nearly finished the two books of Samuel, and I'd like to take up one portion from it this morning. In 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel 15, and we start our reading from verse 13. We just read verse 13. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. So David gets the sudden news that his son Absalom has taken over everyone's hearts and they've turned to him. It was God who enabled this messenger to warn David in time. We see when David sinned with Bathsheba, afterwards there are many, many mistakes he made. We find that even though God told him what will happen in his own family, every time it happened, he was not prepared. But he was spiritually prepared. Physically, things were happening and it should have warned him, but he didn't seem to heed the warning. But when it did happen, his faith is seen and it shines out. Solomon would write in the Proverbs, not to be afraid of sudden fear. Proverbs 3:25, if you want to write it down. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So we ask ourselves the question, how do we prepare for the worst? What do we do when we suddenly hear very bad news? What do we do? Is our faith completely shaken and broken? As he fled Jerusalem, David wrote two psalms. Even at this time, he could be praising God. He wrote Psalm 3 and 4. Psalm 3 says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. When we read the psalms, let us also remember to read the titles as well. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which serve my soul. There is no help for him in God, Selah. So as people saw him fleeing Jerusalem, they said, he's finished, he's dead, there's no hope for him. Not even God will help him. But he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, and my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord in my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. And so we see David fleeing Jerusalem, and he lifts up a cry to Jehovah in heaven. So in a time of sudden fear, the believer can lift up a cry to Jehovah in heaven, and he will hear. And that later that evening, he could say in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Even though his life was in danger and they were seeking to kill him, he could say, I laid me down and slept. He could say, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Then he says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Although he was so surrounded by thousands, yet his faith in the Lord did not waver. So many times King Saul tried to kill him with 10,000s of people. So many times the Philistines attacked him. All his enemies were smitten by God. In Psalm 4, we won't read all of it, but verse 8 he says in Psalm 4, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Remember how the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4 and verse 6. He says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this was the darkest hour of David's life when his own son was trying to kill him. The greatest distress of his life. And yet he had a peace that passes all understanding. He could say, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord Jehovah, only makest me to dwell in safety. So the devil picks a day to attack us. Ephesians 6:13 says it's an evil day. But we're to have the whole armor of God upon us. And we're to pray to God. And the Lord sends help from the sanctuary. In verse 14 we see David is a very wise soldier. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. You see, he was a wise soldier. He acted immediately, and he acted with speed. As a result, many lives were saved. He was truly a shepherd who loved the people, because we see he wanted to spare the city a siege and much slaughter. And so as a shepherd, he wants to leave the city so that the people are not destroyed by Absalom and his army. The other wisdom we see of David is that he didn't know who was with Absalom. He didn't know who were traitors. He had to leave and flee into exile, so those who followed him were the faithful ones. And so those who were with him, he knew they were faithful. He was a very wise man. And what I want to really think about this morning in connection with our remembrance of the Lord Jesus is especially David and his faithful servants who were with him. Verse 15, and the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. He commanded complete loyalty from these men. They could say, we're ready, David. And you see this passage before us is a type of our Lord Jesus' rejection and suffering by his own people, the Jews. Some of the things that happened to David here, we see happened to the Lord Jesus. And we shall see that as we continue the verses. Verse 16, and the king went forth and all his household after him, and the king left 10 women which were concubines to keep the house. And this would set the stage for the prophecy to be fulfilled that Nathan said to him in 2 Samuel 12:11. When David had sinned, Nathan said, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I'll take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. And so God says, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. David was made very clear that the evil will come from his own family. It will be God who will raise up that evil. God didn't tell him the neighbor will be Absalom, his own son. God didn't tell him everything. God doesn't tell us everything in the future. But he tells him what he needs to know. But even in what God did to David, because of his sin, we see God's mercy and blessing. The firstborn son was Amnon. He was the crown prince. So he was going to be the king after David. But we know what he did to his sister Tamar. He was a very filthy and perverted man. The second in line was Chileab or Daniel, but we don't hear of him again. Maybe he died. The third in line was Absalom. And I noticed this as I studied this passage for the first time. A pattern. Amnon was an evil man. And Absalom was an evil man. David the king had two very evil sons. Then my mind went back to the very beginning of Samuel, 1 Samuel 1, where we read of Eli the priest. He had two evil sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were killed by the Lord in that battle with the Philistines. So the priest had two sons which were failures, because it says he did not discipline them. And then we read of Samuel the prophet. He had two sons. They were wicked men as well. Both his sons were made judges by Samuel, and they took bribes. They were not born again, but Samuel gave them positions of responsibility. And David the king has two sons here who are wicked. We're told in 1 Kings the reason why, because David did not discipline his children. And so, prophet, priest, and king all had sons who are sinners, failures. The blame lies with the prophet, priest, and king. All of them failed. And so, it reminds us, doesn't it, of the Lord Jesus, who is prophet, priest, and king, but with him, there is no failure. He doesn't look at us in our sins. He has not only saved us, but going to make us perfectly like himself. To his Father, he says in Hebrews 2, behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me. He does not see disappointment in us. He sees us accepted in the beloved. All that the Lord Jesus is and all that he is doing, there will be perfection, there will be no failure. But this was a mercy of God that these two wicked men were raised up, because God removed his hand of restraint on that family, and the sin that was there was manifested. God is not the author of sin. But when David's sin manifested itself, he had every right to withdraw all restraint so sin can be seen in all its heinousness. And if these two men were not raised up, allowed to come up, and both of them killed, but Absalom killed Amnon and then Absalom was killed, if this did not happen to David, if after his sin God didn't allow anything to happen, everything went as normal, when David died, that wicked, perverted Amnon would have been king. And that temple that Solomon would make would never have been built. Israel would have been destroyed centuries before that Babylonian captivity. And if Absalom had reigned, if these things had not happened, and it was Absalom who reigned, he was a wicked and evil man as well, even worse than Amnon. So you can see why God allowed it to happen, so that these wicked sons are removed, and only Solomon, who loved the Lord, would come to power and build that temple for the Lord. What a wonderful God we have. What blessing he can bring, even out of such tragedy and evil. In verse 17, and the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was afar off, or a house far off. Yeah, the place there was the last house. It means the last house. It's just been transliterated in the Hindi. But it means house, and is the last house of the city before he left the city to cross the brook of Kidron. And as he left, he there rallied his men, those who were going to be with him, and then they passed on. Verse 18, and all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Verse 19, then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, thou return thou, and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. It was common practice to employ mercenaries who were paid to supplement your army. And so there'll be mercenary soldiers from other countries who join the army, and they'll be paid so that the army becomes bigger and stronger. And I want you to think about these Gittites. 600 men, we're told, which were from Gath. And here's Ittai the Gittite, verse 19. The king tries to dissuade him from coming and says, go back, you've only just come. You don't need to come with us, he says. But when I read verse 21, it was one of the most wonderful verses of scripture I've seen in the Bible. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the king liveth, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. There are words very similar to what David's great-grandmother Ruth said to Naomi. Remember, she said in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. We're reminded also of that centurion of whom the Lord said, I've not found so great faith, not in Israel. Because he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But he just told the Lord, speak the word and my servant will be well. Now look at this man Ittai, and you'll be amazed at the grace of God. Because standing before David was a Philistine. 600 Philistines from the city of Gath where Goliath came from. Never could he have imagined when he was a boy. He went down the valley of Elah to fight that Goliath. Those uncircumcised Philistines, he called them. Those worshippers of idols. Remember how Goliath cursed him by his gods. Remember as a boy he killed Goliath and those Philistines were slaughtered and many ran back to Gath. When he was that boy who killed Goliath, we can say never in a million years he would have never imagined this to take place here. That one day his own people will reject him and his most loyal friend will be a Philistine from Gath. 600 Philistines who call upon the name of Jehovah and say to David that they'll be with him in death or life. Notice he mentioned death first, because this looked like a suicide mission. All of Israel was going to be after them soon. So Ittai says death first and then life. Even if he dies, he'll be loyal to David. And he says, as Jehovah liveth. Amazing grace, isn't it, of God? David would never have imagined hundreds of Philistine believers worshipping Jehovah. It's wonderful, isn't it? More faithful to him than his own people. Not only his 500, but their children as well, verse 22. And David said to Ittai, go pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And here's how the lesson comes to us today. As David crossed the brook of Kidron, we remember how Jesus crossed the brook of Kidron in John 18 verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And so we see a beautiful type of Christ. We see David betrayed by Ahithophel. We see Jesus betrayed by Judas. We see David weeping, we are told, as he went up the Mount of Olives. In verse 30, we're told, weeping as they went up. We see on the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus weeping as he prays to his Father. Hebrews 5 tells us the Lord Jesus prayed with strong crying. Jesus accepted the cup from his Father's hand that he would drink at Calvary for us. So as David went over the Mount of Olives and into exile, we remember how the Lord Jesus, after he was crucified, after he rose from the dead, went back to heaven from the Mount of Olives, a rejected king. But Isaiah 42 says this, that God has given Jesus to be the light to the Gentiles. And you think of those Jewish disciples and Jewish apostles, they could never have imagined what took place in their day. They could never imagine their nation set aside by God. The church age was a mystery not revealed to them. The Jewish nation was set aside, and multitudes of Gentiles who once worshipped idols were now worshipping Jehovah. So as David had that following of Gentile believers, our Lord Jesus, or great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, has this vast following of Gentiles like us who follow him and are loyal to him. May we think of what God has done in grace for us. How the blessed man of Calvary has drawn us all to him. The Jews were just amazed. Their world was turned upside down. They could never have imagined what they saw with their eyes in the book of Acts. Let us wonder at God's grace in this passage to this Philistine and God's grace to us. Like Ittai, we can say the words of the Apostle Paul, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. May the Lord bless his word.